real story behind Saint Nick or Saint Nicholas is really important, and it holds the true value of what this Christmas story is about and who Jesus is, because his story really is focused on giving and compassion and those values of Jesus, and what he did really is born out of the love that God has for us and the love that was delivered in the Christmas story in Jesus.
Definitely.
And, so it's been a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's been a lot of fun figuring it all out. And it's definitely good to see it act out and have us act out in it. And it's been a really good time. And I think it's so important, you know, like I said, to really focus on the Christmas message. And there is a gift that's more important than all the gifts that we get on Christmas morning or the days leading up to Christmas. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about a little babe that came in swaddling cloths in a manger and what he means for us. You know, the truth of who he is, that he's love, God's love for us, that he would send his son down here, and it means hope. It means hope. And that's all wrapped up into the Christmas story. And I think as we change, like we kind of talked about going from our childhood to marriage into family, there's life events that always change us, and they have our traditions to grow and change. And there's an event that also grows and changes us in our lives. There's lots of events, but I think there's a big one, and that's the event of accepting Christ, and all of that is centered around the gift that we're given in Jesus. And so I think that's a little bit more about what David's going to talk about this morning. And so I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me share and be up here. And thank you all for letting me share this morning. I'd like to pray over the rest of your message, if that's
please.
Okay.
Definitely.
So please join me. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And we thank you that you sent your son for us, Father God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the love that you give us, Lord. And we just pray right now that our ears are open to you this morning, Lord, that we hear the message you have for us. We hear your message of hope, of love that you'll be delivering through your faithful servant. And so we just ask for your wisdom upon him, that he's hearing from you, Lord, and that our ears are open to you. Thank you so much. All the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much, Nicolette. You're the best. Well, guys, we just shared a little bit about our Christmas story. And so we also want to hear from you guys how you celebrated Christmas, right? And so with that, I actually want to ask, I want to preface with this before we get into our message today, is how many of us actually opened presents this Christmas? How many actually of us gathered as a family, had a good meal together, and celebrate Christmas like we did last year? For example, how many of you guys got new stuff and already start thinking of ways to use them? And also, how many of you guys start thinking after Christmas and what you're going to do? Did you do that? Have you started putting things away, putting your decorations away, or do you usually wait after New Year's? Have you started saving the gifts that you like and already putting a pile of gifts that you want to re-give or maybe return? Maybe you're already thinking about what you want to add to your wish list for next year because you didn't get them this year. Isn't it amazing that even in the midst of a pandemic, we're still able to cherish all these wonderful things? I mean, if you think about it, right, some traditions, some Christmas traditions are kind of weird a little bit. There's one on a greeting card that says this, "Christmas is just plain weird. What other time of the year do you sit around staring at a dead tree in your living room and eat candy out of your socks?" But I have to ask, right? We get all these gifts. We're so happy and delighted we got all the gifts. But at what point do we let materialistic physical gifts dictate our life? If you go to the mall right now, I'm sure you're going to see many, many empty shelves. You're going to see plenty of stores giving deep, deep discounts. And basically, what that tells us is that we're a society that likes things. We like to buy things. You know, we can't wait to just get that money and spend it on something else, right? Even though it's Christmas, where the most we actually already received the most important gift and the best gift ever. And is that right? I mean, maybe we should spend some time to think about the gift that we just received. Maybe it wasn't physical, right? Maybe you haven't felt it yet. But that gift of Jesus, maybe you should spend some time thinking about what that really means to us. See, every Christmas season, I believe that as a church, we do a really good job of talking up about the events leading up to Christmas. We talk about Jesus, we talk about Mary, we talk about Joseph, we talk about King Herod, we talk about the wise men. We do such a great job of leading it up to the importance of Christmas. But then we kind of forget about it. Or we kind of say, oh, Christmas is done. Let's look on to the next thing. We don't spend as much time actually taking the time just to think about, okay, Christmas just passed. What is significant about it, right? And that's what I want to do today. I want to take some time and think about what actually we got on Christmas Day. And to do that, I'm going to go into Colossians 2. So if you follow with me, it's in Colossians 2, and we'll start from verse 6. Now it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them all. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grow with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ on the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Pretty long chapter, pretty packed chapter in there. See, Paul had to write to the church of Colossae because they had a problem. And that brings me to my first point, which is you need to identify the gift that you got. Identifying the gift. See, how many times have you opened up a gift and asked, what is it? It could have been a gag gift. It could have been a white elephant gift. It could have been a gift that wasn't on your wish list. And so you're kind of puzzled as you're opening it up, right? And as you're opening it up, your friends or your family members, they're just like giggling and laughing, just waiting for you to get that aha moment and for you to realize what you have on your hands. How many of you actually have encountered those situations? I know I have, right? And so the church in Colossians had that same problem. They had just received this gift called Christ into their life. You know, they just received this gift of being God's redeemed, chosen people, but they didn't know what really was that gift. And so Paul had to clarify that in verse 6, in Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord." You have received him. See, in those times, they were still listening to teachers who were materialistic and self-centered. They had rules and laws for everything like we do now. You know, taboos, do's and don'ts, everything to regulate civilization. You can't handle this. You can't touch this. You can't touch that. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. You can't drink this or drink that. You can't behave this way. You can't stand like this at a certain time of the year, or you have to do certain things in order to get a good harvest. You know, some of the Christians had to struggle because there were so many different religions floating around. If you ask the Jewish Christians at that time, as in verse 11, they had to wrestle with the idea of, do you circumcise when you become a Christian? Can Christians eat pork? Should Christians continue to pray to gods of the Greeks and the Romans? Other Christians convert had grown up believing that in order to be to have a good fish harvest, right? In order to catch fish, they have to pray to a Greek god to do that. In order to get love, you have to be loyal to Venus. And many taught new believers that they had to worship angels instead of just Jesus Christ. So they had all these questions and struggle to balance with their past life and being a new believer. They didn't know what to do with the gift of being a Christian. Do they keep on doing the same things that they have always done on top of being a Christ follower? After all, those were important things that they did before, right? And the philosophers and teachers in town told them, yes, by all means, do those things. It is important for you to be in proper relations to all the spirits around you, as well as worshiping your new leader, Jesus Christ. So again, my first point, you need to know what is it that you got in order to know what to do with it next. And that brings me to my second point. Once you know what you have, you need to know how to use that gift, right? Or else it becomes next year's gift, next year's white elephant gift, maybe, or a return, for example. I remember one year growing up, I got this beautiful feather calligraphy set. It was an amazing box of tips and ink. And I'm lucky enough to have gone to school and learned how to write cursive, unlike our current generation now. But I learned it with a pencil. Not a pen, just a pencil. But this set that I received was a feather brush, and I didn't know how to use it. Now, also, mind you, this was before the age of Google and YouTube and or even gift returns with a gift with a gift receipt. And so I'm stuck with this gift, not knowing how to use it and not knowing what to do with it. So it just sat on the shelf waiting to be re-gifted next year. And just like in Colossians, Paul had to first make aware the gift that they have received, which is Christ, the gift of life, right? And how that differentiated them from the pagan worshipers. And so that's what it was. That was the gift, the what, right? But next, Paul had to teach them how to use that gift. So Paul tells the Christians in Colossians and says, Christ is over all of the cosmos, over all the world, over everything. You know, he was over the angels, the foods, the gods, the festivals, and everything. He alone is Lord. And that as people in Christ, they have died to all things of the world. And so in Colossians 2:20, he says, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? In other words, what he was trying to say in English term was, knowing that you have Christ in you and that you have died with Christ, why do you allow others to impose their laws onto you? Laws that don't pertain to the life of the redeemed. Don't you know how to live the Christian life? See, what is important for a life of a Christian is that they are God's chosen people, right? They are holy, they are beloved, and as God's chosen, they are to act differently than the pagan worshipers. They are to have unfailing kindness in their heart. They're supposed to exhibit gentleness to everyone. They're supposed to forgive others just as God had forgiven them. And loving others with the peace of Christ that way, and also conducting themselves not like pagan worshipers, but as true followers of Christ and loving and being thankful in all things. So you see, it's not enough to know that you got this gift of life on Christmas. You actually need to know what it is and how does it apply in your life. My third point I want to bring up is, after you know what your gift is, after you know how to use it, you have to decide then, are you going to accept the gift or are you going to return the gift, right? You see, when you accept Christ, you will inevitably change. When someone receives the gift of Christ and really accepts the whole gift into them and not just parts of it, that person begins to change inwardly first and then outwardly, right? When you have Christ in you, the first thing that happens is love starts renewing in you. You start to love your neighbors. Even though you have nothing in common with them, you start to have this love for other people that you never would have had. Your heart starts to soften up. You start forgiving much more easily rather than holding a grudge and bottling up all these hurt feelings. Things that used to be high on your wish list, things of materialistic things like a car or the next best phone or MacBook, for example, kind of pales in comparison now to when you know that God is in you, when you've received that gift. You know, you start having a kingdom mindset versus an earthly mindset. You start looking forward to things that uplifts your spirit versus things that bring you down, right? And that's all when you accept Christ. But you know what? I get it. It is so easy to return that specific gift. I mean, why would we want to be so loving to our neighbor or brother-in-law or cousin when they are the first ones to treat us poorly, right? Why would we want to forgive one another when it's just so easy just to dump them and go find new friends? Why should we exhibit compassion, kindness, meekness, humility, or patience when the world tells us that we should just take whatever we want because we deserve it? The world says it's not fair that we don't have what our neighbor has. The world says that humility is a sign of weakness. The world promotes that impatience gets you further than patience and waiting. And it's even much more harder to have this gift, especially when Paul says it, that we are to be dead to the world. Why would we want that? And that's only, now you only want this gift because you understand the true value of this gift. You would only accept this when you know that all gifts don't measure up. To the love of Christ and his salvation. But you still have to make that decision, though. You have to make that decision of accepting that gift and everything that comes along with it. And finally, my last point is, when you decide to accept that gift, you have to use it. See, accepting Christ means you have to use what God has given you and what God is putting into you, right? Knowing that you have this gift of salvation, of good news, is not enough if you're not going to share it with your neighbors. Knowing that you have God's unconditional love is not enough if you're not going to share that love with those around you, especially with the people that you dislike. It is not enough to just know all these things and just keep receiving and receiving. You actually have to use it outwardly to demonstrate Christ-like values. Whether or not we buy gifts at Christmas isn't going to make us a good Christian, but living and sharing unconditional love given to us by Christ all year long will. Being in Christ allows us to put on those virtues. And being in Christ allows us to live differently for those than those of the world. I'm reminded of this story. A driver had driven this chemistry professor to many, many speaking engagements. And time again, he heard the same speech given over and over again. So one day, as he's driving this professor to another engagement, he told the professor, "You know what? I can give your speech myself. I've heard it so many times." And the professor said, "I bet you $50 you can." And so the driver said, "You're on." So they get to the speaking engagement, they swap the tires, he goes up to the head of the banquet hall, he gets introduced, and this driver gives the speech just like how he's heard it many, many times. At the end of the speech, he gets a standing ovation. And the MC comes out and says, "We are so fortunate to have you with us today. And since we have an extra minute or so, let's have some Q&A. So the first question comes out, and the driver just stood there dumbfounded. He knew the speech, but he didn't know how to apply it to the question. And suddenly, like a flash of brilliance, he says, "You know what? That's about the most dumbest question I've heard all day. I bet even my driver can answer it." See, just like that driver, it's not the same when you just know something without actually living it. The driver heard the chemistry professor's speech so many times, but again, how many of us know it's not the same by just knowing it? You actually got to live it out, right? You actually got to be like the chemistry professor in the lab, tinkering with test tubes, playing around with formulas to actually know what he's talking about, especially when he gives a speech. So that way, when the Q&A comes, he knows how to answer. He's prepped for it, right? And that's what you got to do with your gift as a Christian as well. It's not enough to just know what God's love is. You actually have to act it out to actually really experience it yourself. And that way, others can see what being Christ-like is. Amen? So, Christmas is over now. What are you going to do with all that you've been given by Jesus? Will you return it or refuse it? Are you going to say, Jesus, I'd rather just live like I've been living. I don't need changing. I thank you, but I don't need what you offer. I'd rather worry about the things of the world. I'd rather get what I can get from this world while I'm able. Your religious mumbo-jumbo might just slow me down. Maybe in a few years when I'm all settled. Will you just put it on a shelf and never experience the peace and joy of God's love, even though it's yours now that you're a Christian? Or are you going to say, oh, thank you, God, for your love and grace for me and your generosity. I can't believe that you love me, even though how messed up I am. You know, I drink, sometimes I swear, sometimes I gossip about my friends. Yes, I believe in you, Jesus, but I'm not good enough for your love. I'll just try to get along on my own for now. I'm happy as long as I have my nice car, my nice home, my nice-looking family. I'm happy. What more do I need? Or will you accept his gift? Will you take his gift and use them? Put them on. Let Christ change you from within so that all that you do and all that you say reflects him in your life. Will you share his gift with the people around you, giving to everyone the wonderful gift of love and compassion and grace? Christmas is over, but the work of Christmas is still ongoing. As Paul encouraged the people in Colossians to do something with their faith, I want to encourage you to do the same. Don't just receive Christ and do nothing about it and become a lukewarm Christian. Don't just fall back on past traditions or what's working for you prior to you becoming a Christian, but instead apply yourself in Christ. And let's see together how he just takes you and mold you into the best thing that you can become. Amen. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this amazing gift that you've given us. And we don't want to forget about it just because Christmas is done. We don't want to just set it aside because it's not shiny anymore. It's not new anymore. It's the same thing over and over each year that we've come to know and listen. But Father, we just ask you for the boldness right now to step out in faith, to take that gift that you've given us and to apply it into our lives, and apply it into our everyday life, that we can become that beacon of hope and love for those that we come in contact with, that when they come and see us and interact with us, they see Christ's love in us. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing gift. Let us now take that journey of just learning how to use that gift and applying it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, that's all the time I have with you this morning. I hope you've been blessed. I hope you've been encouraged. Drop in the comments and let us know how this message has encouraged you. And let us know your Christmas traditions. We want to hear about you. And if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook and you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to us so that you continue to stay engaged and follow what we're doing from week to week. All right? Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face just shine upon you. We thank you for joining us this morning. God bless.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.